Turn in your Bibles, if you would, once more. This morning we're talking about the love of God. Of course, our overriding theme is faith that works by love. And I'm parked here for a while. I pray that these handful of scriptures that we're going to look at over and over and over again, which we're going to do on purpose, purposely redundant, that it begins to be part of your regular study and what is on your mind and your meditation during the week. I am 100%, 150% convinced. If you get a revelation of the love of God, the love of God breaks, listen to me, breaks every addiction. Thank you for that resounding amen.
Amen.
Full of faith, the love of God, a revelation of the love of God will break everything that you don't have control of in your life.
Amen.
Every time we hear the word lust, we think of sexual sin, but lust is something that drives you versus you driving it. It can be the lust for things. It can be a lust of a lot of things. And how many know that God is love? Not a revelation of how terrible you are and how much you've fallen short. How many know most of us had a revelation of that without anybody else's help? Well, actually with a lot of people's help, but not God's. But a revelation of His love for you breaks the yoke of addiction. It breaks the yoke of bondage. It breaks fear in your life. There are way too many so-called, and I'm not casting a shadow on people that are spirit-filled, but people that are so-called spirit-filled. How many know that when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received together with that baptism a filling? But then Paul says in Ephesians 5, be continually filled. So just because you got baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues in a little bit doesn't mean that you're staying filled. How many know we can stay full? We can drink anytime. We can stay full of God by spending time in His Word, by fellowshipping with Him, by meditating on who He is. Man, that book, I can't wait. Do you know how many books I've got on my desk that I've read 3 or 4 pages and have not finished them? I've got so many books I got to read. But that's one that I'm going to have to cut to the top of the pile. Oh, man, I'll bet. Lord Save Rush Limbaugh. That's Rush Limbaugh's brother. That's Rush Limbaugh's brother. Born again man, full of Jesus, loves the Lord. Boy, Rush needs that revelation. Save him in Jesus' name. Amen. So, anyway, back to where we're at here. Boy, listen, boy, that really brought up a lot of chatter, didn't it? Okay. How many in here today are glad for the love of God? Probably there are a handful, maybe more than a handful, that when you mention the love of God, it's utter... because you've never experienced that kind of love. Certainly not from a male figurehead. That's something you distrust. Something that doesn't conjure up the greatest of ideas in your mind. That's why we need to take the time to dwell here. Because love truly overcomes all. Are you aware of the fact the Bible tells us that we live in a world created by words that love spoke? Let me say that one more time. Are you aware that we live in a world that was framed by words that love Himself spoke? Do you realize that when we got born again, now I know we've talked about this for a number of weeks, but when we were born again, the Bible says that the love of God was put on the inside of you. Now, you may not be walking in it. You may not even know that you have it. You may be praying for love. You may think you hate somebody. But if you're born again, and I got you over here to the side and got your attention full on, and I said, tell me right now that you actually literally hate so-and-so. You'd have a stutter. You may emotionally feel that way. You may be angry. You may be hurt. You may be bitter. But as a born-again person, hate coupled with murder, it's not there if you're born again. You following me? Now we'll talk a little bit more about that. But how many know the love of God makes all the difference? So we want to take some time there. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would. Because I made that statement about love framing the world, I want you to look. I was going to go to our text that we're going to follow for a number of weeks. But I want you to go first to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, where it tells us that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Hebrews. That was interesting. A study that was done a number of years ago. Fascinating. And I've been digging through my study trying to find. I had an audio and then I also had transcripts of some guys that were, these are not Christian guys. This is not a Christian institution. These were secular scientists. And they were looking at things that, for example, they said that all matter under the most powerful of microscopes, all matter, even a rock, has glass, has stuff moving in it. It has stuff moving in it. They said everything, even stuff that seems to be, what's the right word? Help me out. Inanimate. Thank you. Inanimate. Everything. You know, Jesus, I mean, the Word of God says even the rocks would cry out. Okay? Different things. And they were talking about sound waves. They don't know where they come from. Massive sound waves that are coming from outer space that come in regular, continual waves that seem to brush and activate everything that is alive in that sense. And they have no idea what that is. They have no answer for it. In the beginning, God said, let there be, and there was. And that life sustains all that we understand as life. Look at Hebrews. I'm going to keep interrupting myself. Pretty bad, huh? Hebrews chapter 1. Excuse me. God, who at sundry times, chapter 1, verse 1, in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. John 14, 9, Jesus' response to Philip, how long do I have to be with you guys? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Here Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews by the Holy Spirit says, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, the upholding of all things by the word, the upholding, the sustaining. Colossians 1 tells us the same thing. Everything is held together, sustained continually, currently by the word of God. Now listen. If the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, we're created in His very image. From the way we got saved to the way we live, the importance of the spoken word. You see Proverbs 18:21 that tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. How many after our series on faith are being more careful about what's coming out of your mouth than ever before? I'm not talking about a bondage. But how many know it's important that we speak the Word of God? Are you with me? Now you get a revelation of the love of God, who He is on the inside of you, and you begin to agree with Him with the Word of God. We become more God-like in that act and in that moment than any other point in our life. For the worlds were framed by words that came from love Himself. How many know that when you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says He came to live on the inside of you? There was a miracle that took place. Therefore, if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a... Old things have passed away, all things have become new. On the inside of you, according to the Word of God, you hear all the time, ministers, I used to say it myself, I want to really minister to your spirits. I can't no more minister to your spirit than anything. Your spirit, man, Romans says, when you confess Jesus as your Lord, the old man died and a new one came in and was joined together with Jesus, meaning that you're as perfect and pure in the spirit as Jesus Himself, or that would not be possible. If that offends your religion, you've got to problem with the Word of God. Isn't that beautiful? Now, how many know there's some work to be done on the outside? We're told in Philippians, work out from inside out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, with honor and awe before God for what He's done on the inside of you. Let the outside begin to look like the inside as you get a hold of the Word of God. Isn't that great? So here we're looking at Hebrews, which says, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, the upholding of all things by the word of His power, when He Himself had purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of majesty. I'm very glad for Jesus. Being so much better than the angels, He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, and it goes on. The worlds were framed by the word of God. The worlds were framed by love Himself. Think of that. What a revelation. The love of God. How many know it's important for us to get? We hear a lot of conversation in the church today about how to deal with this, about how to deal with that, about how to deal with relationships, how to deal with finances, how to deal with children, how to deal with marriage, how to deal with this, how to that, how to have faith for this, faith for the other. All those things are good, and you're going to hear it here. I'm not knocking it, but the thing is, the most important thing that you could ever learn is love. Love itself. We get a revelation of the love of God will iron out so many things if we'll simply submit to it. We live in a day and age where everybody is demanding their rights. We're living in a generation and in an age where everything is about demanding that we be heard, demanding that my values be heard, demanding my rights. I mean, in marriages, you hear it now. It's on and on and on and on. It's all about demanding. How many know the walk with Jesus is a completely different walk? It's what can I do to serve somebody else? What can I do to lift somebody else? What can I do? Paul said, esteem one another higher than the other. You with me? It's one of those paradoxes of the kingdom. It's all upside down from the way the world thinks. Well, we want to look at that. We want to examine what the love of God is. For faith, as we've been talking about for weeks on end, months, faith works by love. Mountain moving, would you say it with me today? Mountain moving faith works by love. There is some of you may not, I mean, it may be hard for you to grasp some of these things, but they're very real people that we knew personally on the mission field. A particular gal that was saved out of a very tough situation came into prominence in the church world in Honduras back in the 90s. Her first name was Gloria, tremendous lady, very much loved her husband, and I may have a couple of the details not exactly right because there's a couple of different testimonies just like this. The tremendous, tremendous lady, she got saved and got a revelation of the love of God, and she would tell my dad, she said, one of my daily practices is, she said, I know He's made such a difference in my life, and I know how much He loves me. And how real He is. She says, every morning, she said, I pull up a chair. And I say, Jesus, she said, I'm making. Now, you may call this eccentric and weird. You can call it whatever you want. But I'm going to tell you some things that are pretty interesting. She would pull up a chair and she'd make coffee and set it on the table for Jesus and herself. And she'd sit down. Now, Jesus, she said, let's talk. And they'd sit and they'd commune. That was very real to her. This little gal from the middle of nowhere who found a Savior who loved her to the uttermost and did such a work in her life. She was there at the Bible school and was talking to Dad one day. And she said, we've had some of the funniest things happen. She said, we had a situation where there was an outage of water in all the city. People were in a terrible state. And she said, we had guests that were getting ready to come over. And so she said, I just told the Lord, she said, Lord, I need water. You know where my need's at, and I need water to get ready and to clean things up. And she said, so I would just sure appreciate it, Jesus, if you just bless me with water and fix whatever's going on. And after a little bit, the water turned on. She goes, oh, praise the Lord, the water's back on in town. Perfect timing. Lord, you know what you're doing. So she's out, typical, if any of you have been ever in the third world, dusty streets, little adobe structures, you know, that kind of little narrow street. She's out front like they typically do. I don't remember if it was a hose or with a pan. And she's casting water or spraying water, I don't remember which, out on the street to settle the dust out in front of her house and washing dishes and cooking dinner and getting things ready. And after a while, one of the neighbors came over and said, where are you getting the water from? She goes, well, the water's on, haven't you? She said, we have. Nobody here has water. You're the only one with water. Now do you think it's eccentric to sit down and have a little talk with Jesus? She and her husband were by the Bible school. I don't know how long after, before this was, and they were talking to Dad, and they said, you know, it is so awesome what God is doing. They said, they said, we had a situation a few weeks ago, months ago, they said, where we were right where we were running out of gas, propane, for our little stove. Another situation where a family was coming over, and she said, Lord, she said she could smell the fumes, and she knew the tank was real low. And she said, Lord, she said, you know where my need is, and you know what's going on. She said, thank you that you just extend this to what I need until these people are gone, whatever. They went on like that in a little tambo, they call it, tambo de gas, about yay big, that was out off the side of their house in the back. At 8 months plus, she said it got to where we'd get up and cry, my husband and I, and worship God and thank Him. And finally her husband, he went out with a wrench, went out and he said, Jesus, it's too much, it's too much, you're too good, this is too much. And he turned the gas off and unplugged the copper. He said, why did he do that? I don't know. In his mind, he was so appreciative, so overwhelmed with what God was doing in his life. He just said, it's too much. It's enough. We'll buy gas. True story. 8 months. A revelation. Mountain-moving faith that works by love. Would you stop talking about Him as your provider? Would you lift your hands up today with me and honor and love back He who is our provision? Somebody needs to hear this too shall pass. You've talked enough about the lack. Look to your provision. Thank Him. Jesus, how we love you. A revelation of who you are, of your great love for us, causes us to love you back as never before and will cause us to love others supernaturally, for it can't be done any other way. Thank you for speaking into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me over to 1 John chapter 4. And wow, is that right? That is awesome. They turned this over to me early today. That means I got a whole, hour and a half? We're just going to enjoy the love of God. You know, so many of us in charismatic, I don't even like that word anymore because I don't know what it means. But in charismatic, spirit-filled, all of the other terms that we use, services and meetings are all about what we can conjure up to make something happen to prove that what we believe is real. How many know that signs and wonders follow them that believe? Absolutely. We believe He is a baptizer in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe He is a healer. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe unequivocally it is always His will to heal. Yes. Amen. We believe all of those things. We believe in the prophetic word. We believe in all of these things. But when we begin to make those things the primary thing, we get ourselves in trouble. And when it's all about having a meeting to make something happen so that it proves that what we're doing to others is the right thing, we're already in trouble. I want to invite you to just enjoy. Let's walk through this thing and let God do some healing in our hearts. Let God do some opening. Let God do some deepening. All of that is still there. None of that has changed. We're going to deal with all those things. I can't wait. There's a segment that I want to deal in particular with fear. There are way too many so-called spirit-filled believers, I started to say this a little while ago, and I'm finally getting back to it, that still live in fear. Fear of death. Fear of many things. Listen, a revelation of the love of God will deliver you from that kind of fear. There are many people that the weight of fear is ever present on their mind, and it's really hard to believe God for great things when that is always there. Well, I believe that as we walk through this, God will deliver us. He already has. I'm really saying that backwards. But you'll get a revelation of His deliverance and begin to walk in it for you. Amen. 1 John, and look at chapter 4. We've read this, and we're going to read it many more times. Like I said, we're going to be purposely redundant. I pray that you're going home and reading these things yourself. Here's 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, that says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." That's pretty simple. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul put it this way. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead, you will be saved. It's not complicated. And we have known and believed. Here is John. We've said this for several weeks. Remember who John was. He was the only one they couldn't kill. He was the apostle who lived out his full entire life. He was the one who stood without fear at the foot of the cross. Jesus said to him, "Please take care of my mother." He was the only one that did not flee afraid. John had a revelation of the love of God for him. I, John, the apostle whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved them all, but he had a revelation of the love of God. Listen, man, right now I got to know I'm repeating myself, and I'm going to keep repeating myself because I want it to get from here to here on the inside of you till we get a revelation like John did, because that makes all the difference. The promises are long life, length of days, fullness of life, fullness of joy, purpose to dwell in a land of plenty. This is what the Word of God promises to those who love Him back. But you got to give a revelation of His love for you before you can do anything back, let alone with others. And we'll get to that as well. Okay, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. John is saying we have known and believed. Want to help you know so that we can believe. Isn't that awesome? That God hath to us. God is love. Would you say that with me this morning? God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect. Herein is our love made mature. Herein what? Let's go back. I know we talked about this exact same thing the week before last, but I want you to look at it with me. Herein, what is he talking about? He's talking about the previous verse. And we have known and believed the love of God. How many believe it's important for us to stop and dwell a little while? If faith that moves mountain works by love, how many know we better find out what that is and how it works? Amen. Herein is our love made perfect, or made mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Mind-blowing statement that he makes by the Spirit of God about you and I. He says, can we say it together? Because, come on, let's read it together. Man, I hope you got your Bible. I hope you're taking notes. I hope you're looking at this. Here's what he says. Here's what the Spirit of God is saying to you. As he is, so are. Do you know who you are? If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, most believers live out their lives without ever finding out who is on the inside, who the real them is. My people, Hosea 4:6, perish for a lack, or because of a lack of knowledge. What you don't know. I remember saying this and it upset somebody so bad. You're putting fear in the congregation. And I was appalled. I thought, no, actually, it's the opposite. I'm trying to stir people to realize people are already in trouble. Lives are already. I mean, even people who are believers, it's just a wreck. Here's what the Bible says. If you find out some things, you can change the direction and course of your life. You can move into a whole different plane, a whole different level of faith in your life. Amen. What you don't know can kill you. I'm so glad that we have the Holy Spirit that knows. I'll never forget, way back in the high mountains of Honduras, way back up in the high mountains, you'd think it was the Rockies, or somewhere here, pine country, working my way out through that ranch country where it's still open range, no fencing, no nothing, and flying down a highway. I was late. I'd found out that our visas, something had happened in reference to our visas, and if I didn't make it into the capital by a certain time, we were going to be in serious trouble. So here I was in my pickup with Jackie and little Rebecca that sang this morning, a little old teeny thing in the seat between us, and we're flying. Little old dirt roads, we are absolutely cooking. We get down out of the mountains, hit this big long river, and we're moving down through, kind of still dropping and everything, and it's dark. I can't see that far out ahead. My heart's in my throat, but we've got to make it. And as we're going, I hear a voice say to me, "Watch!" I mean loud like that, out here, in here, all around. "Watch!" With that word, I hit the brakes and started looking. And at that time, a 2,000-pound plus Brangus bull shifted his weight to where I could see the light of the road through his two hind legs. We were going to hit him direct on in a little Datsun pickup with my baby between us. How many are glad for the Holy Ghost in us that knows all things? If we're listening, if we're aware, how he wants to protect us and show us, reveal to us. That's love. Living on the inside of me speaks to me by the Holy Ghost. He's the one when I am in the process of moving from temptation to transgression, willful sin. He is there inside expressing his grieving, not condemnation, not separating himself, but drawing closer, expressing his grief through me, saying, don't son, there's a payment for that. This will hurt. I'm here glad today for love on the inside of you. Romans 5:5 says the love of God. Would you one more time lift your hands with me today? Thank you, God, for the love that you have given. Hallelujah. Now reveal it to me. What's in me? Help me walk in it. This is supernatural. Supernatural love. as he is. Can you say it with me one more time? As he is, so are we. You want to know how God looks at you because of what Jesus did? Do you want to know how God looks at you through the lens of the gospel that he put together for you and I, through the blood and work of Jesus? Do you want to know? As he is Jesus, so are we. This is how he's looking at us in this world. We ought to have a shouting camp meeting in here about right now. This is what the Word of God says. 18. There is no fear in love. Now, I understand there is a healthy fear, and you've heard me describe it. You know, if you were to tie a bandana over your eyes and walk out straight in the middle of Highway 89 right now, there should be a healthy fear of that kind of stupidity and being out there without being able to know what's going on. But I have been alerted by the Holy Spirit that I need to stop qualifying that. We always have a but. And I'm starting to catch it in myself. There is no fear, but. And after that, all I hear is crickets. Because the Bible says perfect love. His perfect love for me, that makes it possible for his love in me to be perfected in me and on my life, cast out all fear. Now, that may be mind-boggling for you, but we're reading the Bible this morning. I don't know if you're aware of it. Most Christians don't care what the Bible says. They know what they believe. They're not going to let the Bible get in the way of what they've always been taught and heard and believed. But let me tell you something. In this church, we're going to stick with what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, there is no fear in love. That means if something comes along in your life and strikes fear, that's a normal human reaction. But we who are of faith can grow to a place to where we can stand. I'm always amazed at Brother Andrew Womack's testimony of his son in a morgue with a toe tag on when he got the news that his son was, did he die or was killed? That he died. And when he heard the news, I admire this. I saw this kind of faith in my dad. Ironically, because some of you saw my dad struggle before they left recently, which, by the way, they're doing awesome. They got a home with Brenda and Marcos, and they're doing really good. How I miss Mom and Dad, but they're doing good. They're where they belong. And although I feel they should belong here, but anyway, at any rate, and you, some of you watched him struggle with his own health, but I've watched that kind of faith. Watch that man walk out in the middle of an open street in a mining town that was wild, killings every week. Standing out preaching on a little wooden stadium they built in the middle of a big dirt street down a big old mining. I mean, it's reminding you something from the 1800s, and I'm not kidding. There were machete and gun attacks every week. Honduras was, it's wild now. And a guy who was obviously demon-possessed with a machete coming down the main part of that street, scattering people with a machete. Supernatural strength, cutting wires as sparks flew, electric wires as sparks flew, and zeroed right in on my dad. And that man walked right down the middle of the road and said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I defy you, and began to speak at that thing. And watch that guy that had terrorized a whole town within the matter of just a half hour dwindle as the spirit behind him shrank. Now, where was I at a minute ago? I was going to tell another story. Huh? No, I know the fear, but I was telling another story. Andrew Womack. Here, I admire that. Tremendous. Here he is. He gets the word. His son is dead. I don't know about you, But I have to confess to you, I probably would not have reacted like he did. You know what he began to do? He began to worship. Boy, that's love being matured on the inside of you because of a revelation. 99.9% of the people that I know wouldn't react that way. I don't, my brain has a hard time connecting. That's why I need this revelation as much as you do. But by golly, we're going to do it. We're going to dwell here. We're going to grow in a revelation of the knowledge of the love of God that causes faith to be activated. I don't understand it. He began to worship God the whole way there, walked in, spoke life over that boy, and that boy's alive today. And there's nothing anybody can say or do about it. I mean, it's in your face. True story. Backed up. You think that's crazy? Jesus said in John 14, greater works shall ye do. He told us that we were to heal the sick. What else, Darlene? Cast out devils. What else, Darlene? Raise the dead. What else, Darlene? Preach it, lady. Cleanse the lepers. Spiritual and actual. Whatever. I'm very glad for the love of God today. Praise the Lord. Look at what he says. He says, perfect love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or mature in love. How many are ready for a journey? Yes. Hallelujah. Letting the love of God. Last week we left off talking about the love of God, the agape love of God. Now, if you missed, we talked about four words in the Greek for the word we have, one word in English, love. Those of you that were following along, we learned what Eros was. It's a self-seeking, sensual kind of love. Has more to do with sexuality. Sturgio is limited to only one's family. A kind of love that has to do with devotion to one's family. Phileo is based on mutual satisfaction. Scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. There's nothing wrong with it. Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia. A kind of love, we should love one another. Are you with me? Nothing wrong with that. But these all fall way short of the love of God, which is agape. Agape, agape, Spanish, you want to name it, whatever. So agape love. I want to back up, and for those of you that weren't with us, recap a couple of paragraphs out of my notes, and then we'll move forward from where we left off. Agape. Let me back up a little bit more. The fourth word after Eros, Sturgios, right, and Phileo, the fourth word is agape, is the word chiefly used in the New Testament to depict the love of God. This is the Greek word agape, and it is the word that Paul uses in Galatians 5:22. Where he writes, but the fruit of the Spirit, and he starts with love. All of you remember that, right? There is no higher, finer, or more excellent love than agape love. In fact, the word agape, you'll remember us saying this last two weeks ago, the word agape is so filled with deep emotion and meaning that it is one of the most difficult words to translate in the New Testament. Trying to explain this word has baffled translators for centuries. Agape occurs when an individual sees, recognizes, understands, or appreciates the value of an object or a person, causing the viewer to behold this object or person in great esteem, awe, admiration, wonder, and sincere appreciation. Such great respect is awakened in the heart of the observer who is expressing this agape love for the object or person he is or she is beholding that he is compelled to love it. In fact, his love for that person or object is so strong that it is irresistible. Do you remember that? Okay. In the New Testament, perhaps the best example of agape is found in, would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 16. We hear it quoted all the time. I think it's healthy for us to look at it. This is not a worn out verse. This is the center of our gospel. For God, how many can say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever... John 3:16. Now listen, for God so loved the world. Now those of you who have been in here a while, you've heard me say this before, but I was so blown away. And I know this person meant well, but I was overhearing a conversation one day. We'd had a tremendous service. There was ministry going on up front. And I heard this conversation going on over to the side. And this little gal that's been through a lot of different things and was kind of getting a hold of some things, she meant well. But in her mind, she'd heard some things that really had her confused. And the reason it caught my ear is I thought that's probably where so many are in the body of Christ. I heard her telling this person, well, it's like this. See, God was really, and she used the words for PO'd. See, God was really PO'd, except she said the whole thing. Because man had been so terrible. And I was like, whoa, okay. And Jesus, basically, she said to this person, so she's over here on the side, trust me, I got there quick and fixed the situation, lovingly, but we got it straightened out. She said, but Jesus basically went before God and said, hey, Dad, time out. Joe Pill. And he stood in the gap between us and the anger of the Father, and paid the price so that if we believe in him, things will be okay between us and God. Now I realize that she was growing. But boy, that was a wreck. I want you to notice your Bible says, for God. Come on, are you here today? For God so loved the world. It was his plan. It was his idea. Of course, we know if we're reading our Bible, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. The Word was with God, Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. For God so loved the world. How many in here are glad today for the day that love was revealed and you by faith put your trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a difference. In the phrase, for God so loved the world love is the word. If you look at it, how many of you in here have some kind of smartphone? Yeah, I have a program. Heard mine, yo. I have a program. Most of the time, I think it's a dumb phone, but other than that, I have a program in here. I was talking to Greg about this the other night, and I can't remember. Greg, what did we settle on that was the same as my sword? Did you find it? That had the King James hyperlinks? You haven't done that? What's the matter with you, man? You've had since Wednesday till now. Katie, would you get on him for me? No. Anyway, there we were looking together, so I'm not sure what the iPhone has. I know that it has it.
E-sword.
That would be it. Yes. You can, there on the Android phones, there's one called MySword. You can download it for free. It has a ton of free modules, all kinds of study books, different translations of Bibles, everything. One of the tools that I love in there the most is one that in MySword is simply called the King James Version, okay? KJV. And it has every single word has a clickable, you know, by touch, hyperlink, and it takes you immediately to, in fact, I think the numbers, Greek and Hebrew for New and Old Testament, are right there. You can click on that word and in an instant have Strong's Concordance definitions, Thayer's, and you can even have access to commentaries, the whole deal. It is a tremendous, tremendous study tool. Now remember, these even Strong's and Thayer's, they're men. So they're doing the best they can with the Word of God. But it will really open up because what they'll do is they'll look at the original translation. And that's what I pay the most attention to, is looking at that original, seeing where it came from, the context of that word. And it really opens up. So my sword, or if you have a computer, or if you have an iPhone, eSword, and you can actually find. So as we're moving through this, everywhere, Greg brought this to my attention, and I appreciate it. Everywhere you see the word love, you can click on that and see exactly what the writer's, what he was trying to say, okay? For God's, in the phrase, for God so loved the world in John 3:16, the word love is here, as you'll see in most of these cases, probably all of the verses that I'm going to be using, the word agape. Can everybody in here say agape? Okay, now the world has taken the phrase unconditional love, and you have all of these relationship gurus and talking heads and people that think they, all they've done is ripped off a biblical principle and used it to make money. And they don't have the faintest clue what they're talking about. God is unconditional love, and it's only by the Spirit of God that we can know and walk by faith in a kind of love that makes all the difference in the world. I'm sorry, I don't care who they are, they have no clue. Unless they've come in a relationship with Jesus, they have no clue what they mean when they say unconditional love. Somewhere, some way, it's tied to something you can do for me or something that I can gain from you if it's not coming from the Word of God. Can you say amen? Okay. This means that when God looked, listen, so this word agape, this means that when God looked upon the human race, he stood in awe of mankind. Even though man was lost in sin, God admired man. He wondered at man. This is all in the Bible. He held mankind in highest appreciation. Even though mankind was held captive by Satan at that moment, God looked upon the world. God so loved, agape. God so loved the world, he looked upon the world and saw his own image in man, for we were created in his image and his likeness. I hope this will be more than notes and words, that this is getting something settled little by little, deep down on the inside of you about how good he is. You see, agape love is a love that's so is a love that loves so profoundly that it knows no limits or boundaries in how far, wide, high, deep it will go to show that love to its recipient. Turn with me, and I know we've read these scriptures, but I want us to look at them again. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, one more time. Ephesians, I urge you, I mean, open up your Bibles, find where these are at, mark them. Meditate on them. If you don't apply the Word of God for yourself, it won't work any other way. I love, that's why you hear me quote so often, Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his passion is in the Word of God. And he meditates in it day and night. This man shall be, David, like a tree planted by rivers of water. He'll bring forth fruit in season. And whatever he does, you a business owner? You working for somebody else? He says, let these things come into line in your life, and whatever you do, Pat, will prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches. Listen to what he's saying, that he would. I'm praying for you that he would open up this morning as I am laboring before you. Opening, I didn't just come up with this. We pray about these things. We say, God, help us together see you more. Help us to walk in a greater revelation of who you are. The world today, man, our nation is in a wreck. They need a real Jesus in their midst. And it's going to happen. It can only happen through you and I. We are literally his hands and feet as we walk in the power of the Spirit. Listen, and so here he's saying, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, I'm praying, that he would open up your mind, open up your heart, that he would let it become a reality in your life, according to the riches. Think of those words, the riches of his glory. This isn't just anything. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, strengthened with might, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded, listen to the heart cry of the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to you and I, the believer, that we would be rooted and grounded in love. We hear every excuse in the world today. And we hear every excuse in the church for why there are exceptions until exceptions have become the rule. But man, I want us to know that we can walk back supernaturally. Listen, it'll save your marriage. It will stop statistics. Would you say with me, I refuse to be a statistic. Come on, are you here today? I refuse to be a statistic. I walk by faith and not by sight. And my faith is according to and in great and exceeding precious promises that in him are yes and amen. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, listen to the heart cry, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height. Most of us see love one-dimensionally. Here we're seeing the four dimensions. God is laying out length, breadth, depth, height of the love of God. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled, listen, with all the fullness. How many are interested in being filled? Come on, are we here today? Are we just having church? How many are interested in being filled with the fullness of God? Now we got to make something happen and have a zinger altar call and make sure that you will go out of here rocking with your eyes cross-eyed from the loud. No, we don't. I'm tired of that up to here. Let's bask, flow, soak. There's a place for that. Oh, don't worry. But I'm not going to do that stuff because that's what people think we ought to do to prove anything. There's one thing that's important, love that works by faith, everything else. A lady sat at the feet of Jesus. Her name was Mary, criticized by Martha. And Jesus says, hold on, this one thing is the most important and will be a work that will be remembered forever. You know what she was doing? You know the work she was doing? She was going, wow. Wow. She was seeing what John was seeing. A work remembered forever. That you would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, this is the context for Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. How many of you, your faith has been rocked? You sit in a faith church. You hear faith being spoken. Sometimes you walk out of here, 10 feet tall, walking on cloud 9. But by Tuesday, it's like, what in the world happened? And your faith has been hit and hit and hit. I want to encourage you by the Spirit of God today. Don't you back up or give up. Stand in the love of God. Watch and see what he does. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Would you make it personal this morning? According to the power that works in... Come on, would you take your finger, pull it right here? There's a power that's working in me as I'm getting a hold of this. This is what he's talking about. That's the kind of love this is. It's a love that loves so profoundly that it knows no limits, boundaries, how far, wide, high, deep. It will go to show that love to its recipient. If necessary, agape love will even sacrifice itself for the sake of that object or person. Agape is the highest form of love, a self-sacrificial type of love, and on and on and on. So we have eros, a self-seeking love, sturgio, limited to one's family, phileo, based on mutual satisfaction and can feel disappointed. Agape is a love that has no strings attached. You ever been around somebody in the church that always has an angle? Are you somebody that always has an angle? Be delivered from fear as we move forward. I don't need to always have an angle. I don't need to always be playing chess with other people. Nowadays, you see our town, can I get real with you? Our town, the Quad City area, is full of cynical, spirit-filled believers that can no longer trust anybody or anything, and they make excuses because of all the hurts why they can't go to church, and they hide in their homes, and it's a shame. Leadership is responsible for that, as well as hearers. This is not God's design. He called us to community, to bodyhood, to love and power. Faith works by love. No strings attached. It isn't looking for what it can get, but for what it can give. It's the awe of the one who is loved. Let me back up. I can't even read my own notes. But for what it's, let me back up. It isn't looking for what it can get, but for what it can give. It's the awe of the one who is loved. So deep that it is compelled to shower love upon that object or person regardless of the response. This is the profound love of God that he has for the human race, for he loved man when he was still lost in sin with no ability to love him back. God simply loved mankind without any thought or expectation. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. That's awesome. When you love with such a pure love that you expect nothing back in return, it is impossible for you to feel hurt or let down by the response of the recipients of your love. You don't love them for the purpose of getting something in return. You shower them with love simply because you love them. This kind of love is much higher than eros love, which is based on selfishness, sturgio love that is restricted by limitations, phileo love that is rooted in mutual satisfaction. These three types of love are what we call low-level love, but agape is high-level love. It is a love that has no strings attached. Once again, a love that loves simply and purely, the God kind of love. Now, here's something for you before we go. John 3:16. It's interesting to me that 1 John 3:16. So that's something easy for you to remember. Are you here today? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16, we are urged to possess agape love for each other. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved. Now 1 John, interesting, 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down. Did you hear that? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So John 3:16 now moves into, here's what I've done for you, now let that be expressed out. And I find the numerical thing there kind of interesting, don't you? The Father loved us to the point of self-sacrifice. Jesus' agape love drove him to lay down his life for us. In the same way, we are to agape our brothers and sisters to such a high extent that we would be willing to lay down our lives for them. Now, I told this story, I believe, on Wednesday night. I hope it wasn't a Sunday morning, because you're going to hear it again. It's one of my favorites, true story. And it really exemplifies what I'm talking about. I love to use it in the light of teaching law versus grace. But this right here is a perfect place. There was a man in the state of Texas that wanted to marry somebody from the Orient. His motive was, he felt that women from the U.S. were too independent and insubordinate, and he didn't want to have to deal with the all-American woman. Now, this is him, okay? So, he, being a soldier and whatnot, finds a little gal, marries her, brings her home with the agreement. I'm going to marry you, take you to America, but here are the requirements. I expect, and here were the expectations. True story. Every morning, I want my clothes ironed, ready for work. I want the keys on the table. I want breakfast ready. It needs to be on time by this time. And these are the things that I want. When I get home in the evening, I want supper in the oven. I want bread and butter on the table. And I want the house in order and clean for when I get home. You do these things, and I'll marry you and take care of you. Let me tell you something. This little gal from, I believe it was from the Philippines, I don't remember the exact story, but she was more than happy to leave the squalor and poverty of her reality and come with this man who was willing to love her and to dedicate his life and provide for her in the great United States. So she willingly moved. I got to understand, the context for her is much different than what we're thinking here. So she moves to the U.S. and here this man has what for her would be a palace. She's so thankful, so grateful. She dedicates herself to this man. She loves him. She does everything he says right on the dot, because that's her culture. A number of years went by, not very many. He passed away suddenly from a heart attack. By this time, the church that they had been attending, this man was a believer, the church that they had been attending, there was a man that began to notice her. This little widow began to show some attention to her. Time went by, and he eventually asked her to marry him. Well, of course, the feelings were mutual, and she said, of course. And they got married there in the church, and she moved into his home. After a few days, he began to notice something that for him was very disturbing. Suddenly, the love and the warmth and relationship and friendship that was there suddenly had changed a little. There was a stiffness. And there was a, because she would get nervous first thing in the morning. She had everything ironed and set and ready to go, and keys by the door and everything ready to roll. When he got home at night, she was there, looking a little bit tentative and a little, you know, what is going on here? She's got supper in the stove and everything is perfectly where it belongs. And it dawned on him. He had talked enough. He says, we need to talk. Let's say her name is Susie. Susie, we need to talk. Let's sit down. He said, I don't know what you experienced before. And I don't really know why you do the things you do. But I need you to understand something. You don't need to do all that stuff. You don't need to impress me to keep you. I love you. From the moment I saw you, I loved you. Not what you can do for me. I love you. Don't you understand how much I love you and value you? Her response, but she says, but what about, he goes, don't worry about that. Relax. I don't care if you don't do any of those things. I love you. I get home, I'll help you. I'll do whatever I need to do. I love you, not what you can do for me. What a beautiful picture of grace, by the way. As the story goes, that woman served with more love and more fervor, did more for that man than she ever did under obligation to her former mate. A revelation of love will not only make you love him back, but it won't be a struggle to serve and to bless. Listen, there's a key right there for any marriage. Some of you men whining and crying about your wife need to take your dress off, put your pants back on, and be the leader in your home and lead with love. Be the leader. Well, she doesn't respond. She doesn't whatever. Well, so what? Agape love says, I'm going to love you. I don't care what comes back or what's going on. He has given me such great love, and I'm going to love back. Listen, that will make miracles happen. Not only that, it'll stop the curse of divorce. Some of you come from families where divorce has looped and looped and looped and looped, and we unwittingly passed it right on down. We can stop the curse, break the curse through a revelation of the love of God. We're ready to learn more about it. You thought you knew about it. Oh, we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about love. There he goes, reading his notes again. I don't understand people. You can point and say, there's a door right there if you want out. I'm going to do it my way. Bam! There's a door right here. I'm going to do it my way. Bam! There's a bloody nose, broke arm. Where was the door? I'm glad for Jesus. His love is greater. I still hear it. I'm not picking on anybody. I don't even remember who it was. I honestly promise. I think God just shields things in my head. Besides that, I'm not that. Anyway, I'm not going to say that. I still hear it. Well, you know, Bob, I love my husband, but and you say you're praying and believe in God? Love. Love. No, Valerie, I was not talking to you. I might have been, I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. You know, Bob, and I love this one right here. Well, you know my husband. A book can be said with a roll of the eyes. And you develop a culture of cynicism and doubt. In a body like this, Proverbs says, a whisper separates the chiefest of friends. Boy, wasn't that great today, honey? Pastor Lee, boy, that was really, you know, that's such a, well, yeah, but you know, Pastor. You're cutting off. I'm not promoting myself at all. You know me better than that by now if you've been around here. But you're cutting off something to affirm, to give honor. Something happens. Proverbs 11 says that to the one that waters, he's watered himself. There is he that scattereth, and he's prospered. It looks like he's given it all away, but he's prospered. Then there is the one who withholds more than he should, and he knows it. This one, Proverbs 11 says, tends to poverty. And that's just not monetary. That means spirit. That means fullness of life, calling, all of these things. Proverbs 11. A revelation of the love of God will send you on a whole new plane as you dare to trust him. I don't have time this morning and I need to stop. I've about taken my hour and a half, haven't I? Wow, where'd the time go? I can't wait to deal with the issue of fear. It's tied to addiction. Some of you need to just trust God and quit the crap. In the name of grace, with all the love that I can conjure, no condemnation, we're not going back to law. But if something's driving your life and you just keep putting it off and it's limiting you, he who loves you is already there in you and for you and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think according to the power you already got on the inside of you. Let the Spirit of God talk to you this morning. Man, I wish I had another hour. The Father loved us to the point of self-sacrifice. Jesus' agape drove him to lay down his life for us. In the same way, we are to agape our brothers and sisters to such an extent that we'd be willing to lay down our lives for them. If we are truly operating in agape and they don't respond in like fashion, it won't hurt and offend us. We're not looking for what others can do for us. We're simply focused on how to love others with no strings attached. Therefore, the way other people respond to us has no effect on our desire to shower them with agape love. John said in verse 18, same chapter, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." The word love, again, is the word agape, which tells us that when agape is at work, it is a force so strong that it demonstrates itself with deeds and actions. I was motivated this last week. I can forgive all I want to, privately and personally. But it just didn't have the oomph. It was only partial. I felt that I was wronged. I felt, and still do, that I was wronged. And that it was unnecessary how it was handled. And I can hide behind my self-righteous little attitude and cause faith that I have stated and believed God and set in motion for great things for my family, for myself, for my loved ones, for our church, for who we are as a people, for where we're going. Listen, this area is going to change. I hope you guys realize that. Over the next 10 years, who knows what could take place, because our area is going to change. I think if we just set tight, mind God, mind our own business in reference to others, and trust God, love one another, watch what God is going to do. All right? Where was I at, though? Huh? Yeah, come on. You know what? I can hide behind all that stuff. Hey, man, how's it going? Oh, really? Well, I want you to know I've been thinking about you. Yeah? I hear the stiffness of voice and the shadow. Yeah? Been thinking about you. How are things going? How are you and your family? What's happening? Well, we've been praying for you. The next thing you know, what I thought would be a 5-minute conversation is a half hour. As things are broken through and released and opened up. I'm giving healing, but in the process, I'm removing a hitch to my faith that works by love. Let's abandon the excuses. Let's follow hard. I've got to finish this. I know I'm going along. No, just this one point. I promise. You don't want to miss this. Listen. Listen close. The love that Paul urges us to follow when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, follow after charity. The word there is agape love. The word follow is the word D-I-O-K-O, which means to hotly pursue. It was a hunting term that pictured a hunter following the tracks of an animal until he finally gets his game. This means that attaining this high level love doesn't come easy. And if we want to attain agape love and regularly walk in it, we must hotly pursue it. It must be the focus and aim. And I know I've got to quit an aim of our lives. Wives, pursue this kind of love in your relationship. Husbands, pursue this kind of love in this relationship. Parishioners, with your leadership, pursue this kind of love in this relationship. Brothers and sisters, with each other, none of us in here are all that in a bag of chips. All of us in here fall short in one area or another. All of us, if we will submit to the grace of God, have somewhere that we can lift and affirm and encourage. And in the process of giving what may not be deserved, healing removes a hitch that has hampered my faith. And there's a whole lot more, but I've got to quit right there. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
Getting a hold of the love of God. Yes. Let's stand this morning, shall we? As we're dismissed, every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around out of respect for those who may respond. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you know, we had a couple in here the last couple of weeks, an incredible story. I don't know where they're at today. Richie was telling me a little bit about it, but I saw brokenness. I mean, out of a rough situation. And Father, I pray today in Jesus' name for them once again. They were sitting over here to our left. Some of you may remember them. That the seed that was planted in their heart, the words that were planted through their ears and rested on their heart, Father, that the love of God would break through this morning. Come on, people of God, would you pray with me that the love of God would break through? Those are the kind right there. These are the ones. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that the love of God would overwhelm them this morning, wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, whatever's going on. How you love them. How you love every person that's in here today. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I think we know everyone, but we don't give this opportunity as often as we should. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Lee, I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I've never really made that decision, and today is the day. I believe in His love. If that's you, would you slip your hand up real high where I could see you and slip it back down? Please, nobody looking around. There may be people that aren't even used to a church setting, and this is one of the hardest things, especially in this day and age, that they've ever done. I don't want to make it hard. I don't want to make it easy. If there's anybody like that, just lift your hand high where I can see you, and then slip it back down. Anybody? At all. Give you just a few moments. How we love you, Lord. How we love you, Jesus. As we're dismissed, would you lift your hands? Altars are open. As our prayer partners make their way forward, we'll close with worship. Would you lift your hands this morning? And just one more time, as we did last week, would you, together with me, say, thank you, Lord, for a revelation of your love for me. A few weeks ago, we talked about the power of the spoken word, the power of confession. As you leave today, would you be willing to open your mouth and make a profession of faith over your life and over those around you. Repeat, if you would, I encourage you to. Let's make a confession, a profession of faith today about the love of God. Would you say with me today out loud all over this room, I confess that I'm hotly pursuing agape love in my life. I want to attain this high level of love and regularly walk in it. So I treat this fruit of the Spirit like it is one of the most important aims of my life. Because the seed of God's Word, come on people, speak it out. Because the seed of God's Word and His Spirit is sown in my heart, I have the potential for this divine love within me all the time. So right now, I determine to shove the flesh aside and release the power of God down deep inside. Because agape is the driving motivation in my life and the force behind my relationship. I am the best. Come on. I am the best, most devoted, faithful, and reliable friend anyone has ever known. Now that's a confession. I declare this. Would you shout it out with me? I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, are you blessed? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your love, a revelation of your love in our lives. What you're doing in our midst right here in Family Church for greater things to come. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Amen. Altars are open. We'll remain here to pray for those who want to be prayed with. Have a wonderful week in Jesus.